So it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Wow, that's a pretty big command there, isn't it? We're supposed to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. I mean, that's almost impossible for us to do. You know, it would have been easy if Paul would have said, you know, rejoice as much as you can, pray as much as you can, or try to be thankful as much as you can. I think we could all say we could do that. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, hey, we need to rejoice always, pray always, and in everything give thanks. So how do we keep these commands? These look like seemingly impossible commands. Well, unfortunately, Paul doesn't really give us an explanation. He just kind of fires these off, and then he just kind of moves on. So what we have to do is we have to look at other scripture to see what Paul is saying here. And that's kind of what happens when you're reading the Bible and you come across scripture that kind of you're reading it and you're like, I'm not sure exactly what that means or what it's saying. So you interpret scripture within scripture. So you look at other scripture that has to do with the verse that you're reading or the topic that it's on, like rejoicing always or pray without ceasing or giving thanks. So you have to look at other verses to kind of interpret it that way. So how can we begin to develop this practice in our lives to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks? Because it's, you know, something that we're not going to be able to do perfectly. Well, Paul gives us a clue. We're actually going to look at two verses here where Paul gives us a clue how we can do that. And if we look at the last part of the verse there, it says, in Christ Jesus. And that is how we can do it. That's how we can rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because we're in Christ. And that means having a personal relationship with Him, and that means we have the Holy Spirit living in us to enable us to do that. Otherwise, we try to do it on our own, it's not going to happen. We're not going to be able to do that. So let's go ahead and look at these three things that Paul is says is the will of God for us, and that is, the first one is rejoice always. So is Paul telling us that we're supposed to go around with our happy face all the time? That when we're depressed, when we're going through difficult trials or circumstances, when people ask how we're doing, are we supposed to sit there and go, praise the Lord, Jesus is awesome? Are we supposed to kind of be that way? Maybe we do that because we think we're being more spiritual to do that, you know. But aren't we supposed to be transparent with one another? If Eric comes up to me and says, man, I'm going through this thing, you know, we pray about it, we talk about it. You know, if I say, how you doing, Eric? And he's like, oh, I'm doing awesome. And I find out later there's something major going on in his life. You know, that's not good. You know, we're supposed to be transparent with one another. So what does that mean, rejoice always? If we're sad and depressed and we're still coming up with this front that we have, that we're just all smiling, have our happy face, what is Paul really saying here? Well, what Paul is saying here is that when we have a problem, we're supposed to rejoice in Christ. That's the key. We're supposed to rejoice in the Lord. And what's interesting is we can look at Paul and Jesus, and we can see that they didn't always rejoice. I mean, let's look at Jesus. Just a few verses on Jesus. The shortest verse in the Bible is what? What is the shortest verse in the Bible? It's in the New Testament. Jesus wept. Boy, I don't think Jesus was very happy at that point, do you think? If someone is weeping, are they really happy? Jesus wept. Why was he weeping? What's the context of that, of John chapter 11? That's where that's from. What was going on at that time? Do you know, DJ? No, we're going to talk about that, but that's a good guess. What do you guys think? What was going on at that time? Lazarus died. And it's interesting is Jesus had a very close relationship with Lazarus. But Lazarus had died, so Jesus wept. So you can see that Jesus was not rejoicing always at that point. What about when he faced, like DJ, what you just said, when Jesus was going to face the cross and he's praying in the garden? It says that Jesus prayed with loud crying and tears. I don't think Jesus was very happy when he knew that he was going to get crucified in about 12 hours. In fact, it says when Jesus was in the garden praying, that he was sweating blood. Now you're like, really? How can that happen? That's just got to be one of those biblical myths or whatever that kind of embellish the story. Actually, it is an actual medical condition that has been seen where people who are under such extreme stress that the capillaries on their skin break, and when they sweat, the blood mixes with their sweat and it looks like they're sweating blood. So Jesus was under extreme stress. Do you think he was happy? I don't think so. And let's look at Paul. Paul describes himself in 2 Corinthians as sorrowful yet rejoicing. No, you can't always be, if you're sorrowful, you can't really be happy. But Paul was still rejoicing, which we'll get into what Paul is meaning there. How about this? Paul was flogged. You know what flogging is? Flogging is whipping somebody. And they would whip you, supposed to whip you 40 times, but because he was a Jew, they only did it 39. And he was flogged several times throughout his ministry. He was imprisoned. He was hungry. He says he had no place to sleep. At one point, he was almost stoned to death. Do you think he just kept his happy face? Think Paul was happy about that in those situations? In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, Paul tells us that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we are to weep with those who weep. So it doesn't sound like we're always supposed to be happy and put on a happy face. We're supposed to weep with those who are going through trials and troubles. Paul didn't say there, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to exhort those who weep to stop weeping and start rejoicing. That's not what he said. We're supposed to rejoice with one another, and we're supposed to weep with one another. So rejoice always doesn't mean that we deny our feelings and put on a happy face and never feel sad. That's not what Paul is talking about there. What Paul is talking about is when we are in a difficult trial or circumstance, or if we're being persecuted for our faith, we have a choice. We can either focus on our trials, we can focus on the circumstance, and lap into this, oh, woe is me, self-pity, or we can set our minds on something else. Set our minds on above. And Paul tells us that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I think I have that one. This is what Paul says. Now we're getting to what the key is and how we can rejoice. He tells the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Again, the key is in the Lord. That's where we can rejoice no matter what we are going through. We can rejoice in God. Because we know if we have faith in Christ and we have a relationship with Him, we have a close relationship now. I have a personal relationship with God that I can come before the throne of God. And Paul says in two places in the New Testament that we can cry out to God and call God Daddy. That's how close of a relationship we can have with Him. And because we rejoice in God and who He is and what He has done for us through Christ, and rejoice in His grace and His mercy and His love, then our circumstances don't control our joy. And that is what Paul is talking about here. So whatever you're going through, we can always rejoice in who God is and what He has done for us. So how do we develop a practice of rejoicing always? Well, every day we should focus on what God has done for us. We should focus on who God is and what He has freely given us in Christ. Something you should do every morning. I'm not trying to be legalistic here, but for me, just the focus on God before I get out of bed, it can even be just a couple of minutes, is going to set my day. Focus on who God is and what He has done for us. Focus that God loves you with an unconditional love, so much so that He sent His Son to die for us and to take the penalty that we deserve. And we can rejoice in God because now, if we have faith in Christ, we are adopted sons and daughters of God. In the book of John, it says that even if we believe in Jesus' name, we become children of God. And because we are children of God, then we now have an inheritance. And that inheritance is sealed by the Holy Spirit that is living in us. So there's a lot of things that we can rejoice about, even when we're going through trials and tough circumstances. The second thing we can do is walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Joy. That's in Galatians chapter 5. I don't have that one up there. And to walk in the Spirit means that we are to yield to the Holy Spirit every day and to rely on Him to control our lives in every situation. And the promise there is if we do walk in the Spirit, that we will have joy because that is the fruit of the Spirit, no matter what our circumstances is. And I think the other thing, too, I really like, and I think it's really powerful in our culture, is music. Get some encouraging music. I don't care what kind of genre of music, if it's rap, heavy metal, screamo, that I know that Isaac likes, country music, country or Western, whatever it is, just make sure it's something that's encouraging and uplifting and tells you and reminds you who God is. In fact, that's what David did. When we talked about David, what did he do? He wrote the longest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is nothing but a songbook. And what did David do when he was depressed? What did David do when Saul was chasing after him and his life was in jeopardy? He wrote music. And a harp, and he played a harp. He was a musician. The book of Psalms is a songbook about David. And what is David's songs are about? They're always about God, no matter what his circumstances are. Always about who God is and what God has done for him. So we can rejoice because we know God and who He is and what He's done for us. How about pray without ceasing? Does that mean that we're all supposed to just, you know, get on our knees and fold our hands and pray all day? Every moment? Is that what Paul is talking about here? Like we're supposed to be monks and we're just supposed to pray all day? It's interesting that the Greek word that Paul uses for without ceasing was actually used for military attacks, repeated military attacks. So basically an army would attack a city, but they weren't successful. They would come back, regroup, and they would attack it again. They would do that over and over until they had victory. So what Paul is telling us is our prayer should be frequent and persistent. See, when we do, when we pray, a lot of people like, well, what is prayer? Prayer is just talking to God. That's what prayer is. You don't have to go, thou dost, O Lord, thou, you know. Talking to God is just like you're talking to your dad, or your parents, or your friend, or anybody, because you have that close relationship with God through Christ. So it's just talking to God. And what Paul, I think, is saying here is that every moment, just think about talking to God. Every situation you're in, just talk to God. If you have a friend that comes up to you and says, I need prayer, don't say, hey, I'll pray about it later and then forget. Pray about it right there. It means just having a constant communication with God throughout the day. Doesn't mean this some kind of formal prayer that you have to do all day. Could, like I said, just in your mind, you could just say, you know, hey, Lord, I got this exam coming up. You know, help me to do well on it. You know, thank you, Lord, for your good. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. I know that you love me. You know, just have that conversation with Him. And the thing is, you know, be honest, because God knows your heart better than you know it. So if there's something going on and you're angry, let God know. A lot of, you know, biblical characters and people, they would express honesty to God that they were angry about the situation they were in. Or they're sad or depressed because of the circumstance. I mean, God knows your heart. He wants you to be honest with Him. So it just means having a constant kind of communication and talking to God throughout the day. So how can we develop that practice of praying without ceasing? Well, first of all, it's acknowledging you can't do your life on your own. Means you recognize you need to depend on God in every situation. And like I said, remember, prayer is just talking to God, and that we can boldly come before a holy and righteous God because we are covered by Christ and have a close personal relationship with Him, an intimate relationship with Him. And like I said, pray whenever you can throughout the day. You know, pray for people. If someone pops into your head, oh, you know, I need to pray for that person or my friend or someone in my family. Just pray right then and there. Just have that constant communication with Him. And then spend some time alone, you know, with God if you can. I'm not trying, again, it's not legalistic. Some people, you know, they'll they'll have get up every morning and they'll have that you know 20-minute or 30-minute you know time with God, and that's okay. But you know some people don't. But it's always good to kind of get in the practice to have some part of the day that you're spending some time with God and being in His Word. I'm not a morning person like a couple other people here, so for me it's later because I'm not even awake in the morning. It takes me a while to wake up. I got to have my breakfast, my caffeine, my shower. Eileen will tell you it takes me a while to get going, where she's definitely a morning person, which I'm not, like you. We're kind of grumpy in the morning. So you know, spend some time with God alone. And now the other part that Paul talks about here is he says, in everything give thanks. Notice he didn't say, for everything give thanks. He says, in everything. So that means in every situation, no matter what circumstances or trials we are going through, we are to be thankful to God. Doesn't mean we have to be happy. You know, we don't necessarily have to be happy like we said when we talked about rejoicing always. But it means being honest with God and being thankful to Him. And it might be something we can say if we're going through trials. You know, Lord, I trust that You are good, that You know what You're doing in this difficult situation. I submit to Your will and purpose, knowing that You will work it together for my good. So like rejoicing, always giving thanks in every situation. You know, circumstances often a choice that we make to believe in God in difficult circumstances. So how do we develop a habit of thankfulness to God in every situation? You develop that thankfulness by knowing God and having a close, deep relationship with Him. Just like I said, King David had a close relationship with God. No matter all the stuff that he did, murder, adultery, lying, betrayal, he still had a close relationship with God, and he knew God. And like I said, if you read the Psalms, you will see how much David knew God and God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. The Bible says that God's mercy is renewed every morning. That's something to think about. Be thankful for. God, Your mercy is infinite. It is renewed every morning. God, I know that You love me. I'm going through this, but I know that You love me. Why? Because You sent Your Son to die for me. And it also means trusting God. If you know God and you know God is good and He is for you and not against you, then you can trust Him. Because thankfulness and trust are bound together. So if you're trusting God, you're thankful. If you're not thankful, then you're really not trusting God. And God promises in His Word that He will never forsake or abandon you and me. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. I think I have that one there. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. But Isaiah 42, 16. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. How about Hebrews 13, chapter 5? Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And what about Jesus? What did Jesus say? In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, Jesus talks about how He's the shepherd. He's our shepherd. And He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And get this, no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. If we're in Jesus, no one's able to snatch us out of His hand. We're in Jesus' hands. So we can trust God, and we can be thankful when we're going through situations. So no matter how bleak the situation, no matter how empty the feeling, God will never leave you because His promises are true. There is much more verses in there that talks about how God, you know, will always be there for us. So that way we can move forward because He goes before us. And as Romans says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that. If the creator of the universe is for us, there isn't anything that could be against us. The other thing, being a practice of being thankful in difficult situations, is being content. If we're thankful and we're rejoicing in the Lord, we're in communication with God, meaning we're developing that close relationship with Him, and we're thankful, then we're going to be content in every situation. And the word content means to be in a state of peaceful happiness. And that's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, "Now, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Now let's understand where Paul's coming from when he wrote Philippians. He's in a Roman prison. It's like a dungeon. But it's interesting that he says, "I have learned to be content." And where did Paul learn to be content? In prison? When he's hungry? No place to sleep? When he's being scourged or flogged? When he's almost stoned to death? You know, Roman prisons weren't nice. I mean, compared to the prisons we have today, there was no heat, no air conditioning. They were cold. There's barely any sunlight that came through. So some people, you never knew whether it was day or night. There was probably bugs and cockroaches all around. There's like poop all over the place and urine, flies, and it probably smelled really bad. Yet in those situations, Paul learned to be content. Why? Because he could rejoice in the Lord and be thankful in the Lord. So this is our will. Paul says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is a command. This is God's will for us in Jesus, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. Though we'll never do it perfectly, we can develop the practice to do that throughout our lives. And we can only do it if we have a real close relationship with Christ. And we have a close relationship with God then, that we know who God is and we can trust Him, know that He is good. And then we can be thankful for God, and then we can do that during difficult situations. So I'm going to go ahead and end. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have some fellowship time. Anybody want to go play basketball? And go ahead and do that. Father, just thank you, Lord, that your mercy is renewed every morning, that, Lord, you just give us grace and love, that you love us unconditionally. And I just pray, Lord, through your word, that going through difficult trials is something that we're going to go through in our life. And sometimes it's trials that we have created ourselves by our decisions. But Lord, we trust you and know that you are for us, not against us. And we can rejoice in you, and we can be thankful in you and who you are and what you've done for us. And I just thank you again for this morning, and I lift this time up to you in your name. Amen.